You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It is late, but it is happening. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we have a special guest today. We are bringing on Kevin McGuire from Locked On Nittany Lions. We're finally doing a cross enemy lines thing again. We did it against Minnesota. We did it kind of with Indiana when we had Connor Hitchcock from Homefield Apparel, to who I thank, and I need to actually send him a thank you because I got my Homefield Apparel hoodie. And it is the most comfortable hoodie I have ever bought, and it is cool. It is awesome looking. So definitely go to Homefield Apparel. I know they have a Black Friday sale going on. So I would definitely get on that. I kind of want to get a Slippery Rock hoodie, so I might do that. I might do that tomorrow. We'll see. But let's talk a little bit about one thing before we get to Kevin, and that is... It seems like today, as we had players a little bit later today, we had Cornelius Johnson and we had Vincent Gray. Vincent Gray somewhat let it slip that it seems like Cade McNamara is likely Michigan's starter. I am not surprised. That's what I anticipated would happen, what I was obviously hoping would happen based off of what we've seen. I don't think you can go back to Milton. I think you've got to basically shut it down for the year, unless you bring him in late, and if there's a blowout type situation, and you just let Cade work, and Milton, you'll be back in the spot of trying to re-earn your job in the offseason. That's how that should go. But the reason why I say inadvertently let it slip was because Vincent was asked, like, who do you anticipate will be the starter for Penn State? Because as you'll hear Kevin say, it's kind of still unknown, right? It's not as well understood as what you're going to see happen come for the Michigan sideline. So it's kind of going to be kind of curious. But anyway, I digress. So we asked him, Vincent Gray, who you expected from Penn State. And he said, well, Cade's the guy I expect to start based off what I've seen, and Michigan's going to do it. And he's like, wait, we meant Penn State. And he's like, oh, whoops. So hopefully he doesn't get reamed out for that. I'm sure that's not going to go great. But nonetheless, that's your situation for the Michigan offense, and you hope that they're able to build on it. Now, don't be surprised if there's a little regression in game two for him. I know this is actually game three, but last week was the first time he saw some major playing time, because you know what tends to happen when a guy goes out and plays extensive minutes for the first time, at least the first time in one particular offense, there's film on them. Part of that's most likely what happened with Joe Milton after Minnesota. Certainly that was part of what happened, why John O'Korn was able to ball out against Purdue, why Wilton Spate was struggling. John O'Korn comes in and just balls out. And then John O'Korn comes in against Michigan State and it doesn't go well. That can be a thing. The good news is you have two teams that are pretty much mirror images of each other in that they are both riding the struggle bus. Penn State is maybe riding it a little bit more because they have no wins. Michigan has wins over Minnesota and Rutgers, so it's not like a heck of a lot to write home about. Now, one thing I do want to point out about Rutgers, kind of continuing on the theme from Monday, this isn't your, I don't even want to say father's Rutgers. It's not your uncle's Rutgers. Might not even be your big brother's Rutgers, right? Because it last year they were abysmal. This year, just look at the scores. That'll tell you what you need to know about Rutgers. Because last year, 2019, there was a lot of, like, Michigan beat them 52-0. Michigan State beat them something like 24-0. They had five games in which they were shut out. This year, every game has been close for Rutgers. Everyone. Even Ohio State, which Ohio State got a big lead. I can't remember what it was at halftime. It was like 35-3 or something like that. Rutgers storms back. It ends 38-25. Oh, sorry. I'm looking at Penn State. Whoops. Clown show. The show is a clown show. Sorry. 49-27 is what that final score was. They stormed back a bit. That was their biggest loss. They won 38-27 against Michigan State. They lost 37-21 to Indiana. They lost 49-27 to Ohio State. They lost 23-20 to Illinois, and they lost 48-42 to Michigan. So there's a lot of things with Rutgers that tells you they are better. They are not letting every score be 52-0. Again, I'm going to look at 2019. What were the scores? 30-0 to Iowa, 52-0 to Michigan, 48-7 to Maryland, 35-0 to Indiana, 42-7 to Minnesota, 38-10 to Illinois, 56-21 to Ohio State, 27-0 to Michigan State, and 27-6 to Penn State. Much different circumstance. So, hopefully, that, you know, Michigan in that, with that in mind, is able to recognize, hey, we beat someone that has a pulse. Yeah, it took three overtimes to do it, but we did it. They have a little bit of confidence. Penn State, back against the wall. But they might look at Michigan and say, this is a beatable Michigan team. Because you look at some of these other teams that Penn State's lost to, I mean, it's not been necessarily a murderer's row either. Indiana's turned out to be pretty good. Ohio State, we don't know what Maryland is. They lost to Nebraska, which has not turned out to be very good. And they lost to Iowa, who seems to be middling. They've got Michigan, Rutgers, and Michigan State left. There is a good chance that they could be 3-5. There's an equally good chance they could be 0-8. We're going to find out a little bit more about what Penn State brings to the table from Kevin McGuire from Locked On Nittany Lions, coming up here in just a moment. But what do you do when you feel like you are always on? Do you ever feel like you need to take a moment to chill? How would you like to hit that reset button and get ready for what's next? These days, everything's go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time, work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit that reset button. That's when you reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Now listen, back when I drank, Coors Light was the light beer I used to reach for starting back in 2003 and until I stopped drinking altogether in 2014, 2015, something like that. I don't remember. 2014, 2015. It's a mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is a cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged light beer. It's literally made to chill. It's crisp and as refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light's the one I used to reach for when I needed to unwind. So when you want to hit that reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, as promised, we are going to do like we haven't done, like we started to do early in the season and then haven't done on a Tuesday, which is bring on someone who knows a little something about the team that Michigan is about to play. So we're bringing on Kevin McGuire, the host of the Locked On Nittany Lions podcast. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us and really, really looking forward to your perspective on what is going on in Happy Valley right now.
What is going on in Happy Valley right now? It's a big question that it feels like I'm trying to search for answers, just like they are searching for a win on a weekly basis. I'll try to inform you as much as I possibly can, but I'm warning you right now, I don't really have a firm grasp on exactly what the situation is right now at Penn State.
Well, let's get right into it, because the first thing that I've been kind of harping on going in, you know, not even going into this game, going into the season, I mean, Penn State was ranked a top 10 team. A lot of people had the Nittany Lions right behind Ohio State. I thought that there was going to be some struggles. I didn't think it was going to be like this, right? Like, I thought struggles meant going into this game 4-1, maybe 3-2. But nonetheless, what's gone wrong from your eyes? Like, what have you been able to tell that's not gone right from Penn State so far?
The first thing I would point to as far as this season is concerned is I will make the obligatory example of the fact that this was a very bizarre offseason. But I think we've reached a point now in the regular season where we have to start moving on from that excuse, because every program in the country went through a bizarre offseason, didn't get necessarily the same kind of spring football routine, offseason workouts. It was all very different. And throwing the fact that Penn State had so many new coaches on the coaching staff, I do think that that is a reason why they have at least started off slowly. But like I said, we're now 5 weeks into the Big Ten schedule. I feel like we can move on from that excuse and try to figure out exactly what's not going right during the season, because they're starting slowly on offense and on defense. They're making mistakes. And when you're making mistakes on offense and you're turning the football over and your defense isn't good enough to allow those mistakes to happen, you're going to dig into some of the big holes that Penn State has had in the first half of games. They've been outscored in the first half of games 117-33. I think that that's the correct stat. I know I've said it a bunch of times over the past few days, but that is not just a slow starting offense, not just a bad defense in the first half of games. That is a full system failure as far as I'm concerned. So that is basically what this season has been in a nutshell. They just start off games horribly. They try to dig out of those holes in the second half, and to their credit, they do play better in the second half, but man, there is something going wrong with the way that this team is prepared for games at the start of the week.
Well, that sounds an awful lot like everything that's happened with Michigan.
I was going to say, sound familiar, right?
Yeah, because Michigan's got, with the Minnesota game aside, Michigan's gotten out to slow starts. Michigan has at least let the other team score first every single week, including Minnesota. But then after that, they kind of took the game and ran with it. But looking at the other games, I mean, even Rutgers, they spotted Rutgers 17 before they decided to start playing offense. So what are these, like, what are some of these mistakes that you're seeing? Like, what, you know, like you said, turning the ball over, are there a lot of penalties? Is it a lot of sacks allowed, being out of position? Like, what kind of things are you seeing out of Penn State that's made them dig these types of holes?
Well, we might as well start with Sean Clifford, because there's a reason that he did not start last weekend's game. It's because he's been turning the football over too many times. He has now gone three straight games, including this past weekend, where one of his turnovers directly led to a defensive touchdown by the opponent. And like I said earlier, I mean, you cannot make those kinds of mistakes on offense when your defense isn't giving you your stops. So, you know, Sean Clifford has had a messy season, far below some of the expectations that I think were placed on him going into the year. I'm not saying that he's an awful quarterback. I'm just saying that for whatever reason, it's just not working out for him this year. And sometimes a player is going to have one of those years where things just are not going your way from start to finish. That, I think, has been the case for Sean Clifford. So I think that there's definite room for improvement there. And then, of course, going into the season, I thought that Penn State was going to have one of the best running back duos in the Big Ten, maybe arguably the country, with Journey Brown and Noah Cain. Now, obviously, Journey Brown had to medically retire. He didn't play at all this season. Noah Cain basically hasn't played at all this season. So you're going down the depth chart of your running back position, and you're getting younger and younger as you do so. So there's a lot of young players that are still kind of trying to develop and, you know, step into some big roles that Penn State desperately needs them to, especially on the offensive side.
Now, what have you seen from Devin Ford? I know that he's gotten a more of an opportunity to, you know, carry the ball, but it seems like he's not necessarily, like you said, up to what Noah Cain was able to do last year, or Journey Brown especially. But what have you seen from him? Does he have the promise to be that number one back type for Penn State?
Yeah, I think he's got potential. I just think he has some competition here as far as this running back position is concerned. I do think that they can feel comfortable handing the ball off to him. If the offensive line is going to decide to give him some opportunities to run, that would be fantastic. But that hasn't necessarily been there either. So I think that Devin Ford certainly stepped into a big role right at the start of the year. Probably wasn't fully prepared for that, given how quickly that had to transpire. But I think as the season's going along, he's been banged up a little bit. But I do think that he's going to remain probably your first go-to running back. But another running back just to keep an eye on, Kevon Lee, a freshman that a lot of people are pretty excited about. And he's had a couple of opportunities to show what he can do. I would not be surprised if you start to see more of him moving forward as the season goes on, because I think Penn State's probably in a position now where the season's obviously a lost cause, and if they're not going to be going to a bowl game, now might be a good time to start playing some of these younger guys just to get them some game experience, get them some reps, and see what they can do before you start to transition and thinking about what's going to happen in 2021.
Now, there is one very big bright spot for Penn State in this game, and that's Jahan Dotson, who has just been really quite good so far, which going up against a Michigan secondary that has not been very good. I mean, I know Michigan fans are not liking when they hear that he's got 31 receptions, 527 yards, averaging 17 yards per reception, per reception, six touchdowns. I mean, you look at some of those games last week against Iowa, even it wasn't a losing effort, 139 yards, had 144 against Ohio State, 123 against Maryland. Only one game so far where he hasn't really shown out. What have you seen out of Dotson? Like, why has he been able to still be a bright spot?
He's got good hands, and he has the ability to just have a quarterback just toss the ball up there, and he's going to go up and get it. And that's something that Penn State hasn't really had too often. Now, obviously, Allen Robinson was probably the biggest guy in more recent years that has been able to have that ability. But, you know, KJ Hamler wasn't that guy, as speedy as he was and as good as he was. Jahan Dotson is the guy that you can feel pretty good that he's going to come down with the football no matter how high up you have to throw it. There's a good chance that he's going to come down with it. And then that allows for some of those big play opportunities. And, you know, go back to the Ohio State game. Obviously, Ohio State was Ohio State, but, you know, he was going up against a pretty good defensive back, and he made some fantastic catches back-to-back to get a touchdown that kind of was what Penn State needed, because going into the season, one of the biggest question marks for the team at the time was who's going to step up a wide receiver. Jahan Dotson was probably the most likely candidate to do that, but he has certainly exceeded some of those expectations. So it's been really fun to watch him play. I just wish some of the other players could do the same, but maybe we'll get there.
Last one for the offensive side of the ball, and then we'll continue on the other end. The offensive line is, I mean, 20 sacks allowed is an unbelievable number through five games. What has been going on there? Has there been a regression? Are there just too many young players? What's happening on that offensive line?
It's not even really youth. I mean, there are some younger players on there, but this was supposed to be one of the best offensive lines that James Franklin has had at Penn State. It has not lived up to that hype. There is a new offensive line coach, Phil Trotwin, down from Boston College, that I think was a good hire, but you know, for whatever reason, that hasn't necessarily fixed some of the issues here, and maybe there's more than there were supposed to be this year. But, I mean, you're talking about an offensive line that has some veteran guys on there that have been in this offensive line and in this offense for a couple of years now, and they're just not protecting well. I mean, Sean Clifford, as soon as he has the football in his hands, or, you know, whoever the quarterback is, he's under pressure, and you can't do a whole lot. Maybe that's part of the reason that Sean Clifford has had some of the struggles he has had, but because the offensive line is just not getting any push, they're not getting any blocking done, and so that is crippling the entire offensive game plan right from the start.
Well, I'm curious to see if Michigan gets push or if Penn State breaks through, because you know what? Michigan State, they have a pretty putrid offensive line, and yet they still managed, and they didn't give up a single sack to Michigan. So I'm curious to see that battle as it happens in real time on Saturday at noon. But Kevin, do you ever need to just break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall? Because you can break through it with Built Go every day, and I know you know all about that. It's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. It's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster with a third of the caffeine. And guess what? It has better results. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, chocolate, mint. How does Built Go work so well then? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Plus, collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, and hair and skin health. Stuff literally makes you look better. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work and my workout. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, a kick of caffeine, Bilko then kicks to keep me going strong with 10,000% of your daily percentage of vitamins of B6 and B12. So visit BiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BiltGo.com. Let's go. All right. So looking at Penn State, we're here again with Kevin McGuire. It's at Kevin. Is it Kevin McGuire CFB?
It's at Kevin on CFB.
At Kevin on CFB. I was going off of memory. And it completely escaped me.
It's all right.
You know what? I have it right in front of my face, too, which makes it even worse. It's a clown show over here at Locked On Wolverines, usually.
It's all right. It's a well-oiled machine, as far as I can tell.
A well-oiled clown show machine. Defensively, there are certainly some bright spots. I look at the production from Shaka Toney. I know Jason Owe is a guy that Michigan really wanted really, really bad when Greg Madison was still here. So the defensive line seems like it's able to get sacks. What have you seen from them in both the pass and rush defense? And who does Michigan need to pay attention to?
Well, you mentioned Jason Owe. Just look at the defensive ends. Those are going to be the two main guys that you're looking for on this defensive line. You know, Shaka Toney has certainly had his moments in the spotlight, and Jason Owe just continues to be one of those emerging defensive stars. You know, Penn State has traditionally had some good success on the defensive line. And I feel like it's actually been more the staple unit for this defense over the number of years. I know, you know, Penn State likes to call itself linebacker U, but to me, I'd look at the defensive line production. That's been probably the more steady unit as far as Penn State's concerned. And I do think the defensive ends are going to have to play a big key role here. And they probably have to step up a little bit too, because while they have the stats, it seems like they come at moments when you kind of wish that they happened earlier in the game. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. The defense just gets off to horrible starts. So a lot of the stats are probably coming in the second half, which, to their credit, that's good that you're not giving up and you're still making some impact plays to allow Penn State to have a chance to at least crawl back and make things interesting. But if you can get them at the beginning of the game, that'd be even better. And that hasn't really been the case. It just takes a while for them to warm up for whatever reason and get going. But when they do get going, they're pretty fierce. And that's why the second half of games this year has been so much more entertaining, I think, from Penn State's defensive side, aside from maybe the Ohio State game for the defense. The defense has been pretty solid, especially after halftime. And it starts with the pressure that they're able to bring on that defensive line. This is you got two good ends going at it. And I look to see if they can really step it up right from the start of this game to see if they can make some of those impact plays earlier on.
Number four defense in the conference right now. So definitely something to pay attention to. Very similar to Michigan, not a lot of turnovers forced when it comes to intercepting the football. Two interceptions so far in the year. I think that's actually where Michigan is at this moment, is two interceptions forced through five games. What are you looking at when it comes to the pass defense? I know it's been a decent unit so far for Penn State.
It has. Tariq Castro Fields got a little banged up, but it looks like he's going to be back and ready to go. So that'll be good on one of the cornerback positions. Lamont Wade certainly has made some highlight plays, but he's also made some bonehead plays at times, whether on special teams or, you know, he will have a costly penalty at one point or time. So I think discipline is really the key word here. I think as far as the defense is concerned, you know, they will make some stops, but then they'll make some cheap hits or, you know, late hit, you know, roughing, unnecessary roughness, whatever. And it kind of grinds on you, because then you're giving up a free first down and when you could have been getting off the field. And Lamont Wade has been at the center of some of those instances this season. So you look to see how disciplined they are, because obviously this is a desperate team, but you don't want to allow that desperation lead to unnecessary aggressiveness.
Mirror images. For the most part, just mirror images. These teams are, it's going to be insane. Last one for you. Who do you have a feel is going to be the guy under center? Is it going to be Clifford again? Is it going to be Will Levis? I don't know if I don't know the situation, because I was gallivanting about New York City and New Jersey before the Michigan game. So I don't really know why Levis was pulled. So enlighten me a little bit on what is going on with the quarterback situation.
Right. So Sean Clifford has been the starter this season. And against Nebraska, they pulled him in the second half and put in Will Levis to see what he can do running the offense. And there was a little bit of a spark in that comeback there. So he actually gets the start last weekend against Iowa. But unfortunately for Penn State, it was the same story we've seen all season long, where the offense just isn't doing anything. So they ended up going to Sean Clifford in the second half, looking for a little bit of a spark. And to his credit, Sean Clifford throws two touchdowns on the first two plays that he is on the field for. So that was pretty nice, but it didn't continue there. So going into this weekend, I know James Franklin's kind of keeping it pretty close to the vest, as you would expect in this kind of situation. The depth chart that was released had Will at the top of the depth chart, but it's one of those situations where you have this player or this player. So we don't really know. I think that Sean Clifford's probably going to be the starter, but I can't say that with a whole lot of confidence, because I do think that Sean Clifford has had his opportunity to show that he deserves to be the starter. I think it might be Will Levis when this game gets started, though. So I do think that we probably see both quarterbacks, so I don't really know how much of a factor that actually is, but you know, I think Sean Clifford's probably going to be in the backup role at least to start the game.
I'm really curious to see how this all goes come Saturday. Kevin, where can people find you?
Well, first of all, you can find me on Twitter at Kevin on FB. I'll say it again, at Kevin on CFB. And of course, you can check me out on the Locked On Nittany Lions podcast. Just like you, I'm doing this all week long, and I'm also doing the Thursday editions of Locked On College Football. I actually don't know if we're doing one this week because it is Thanksgiving, but stay tuned. And of course, I do some contributions over at athlonsports.com, do a lot of Big Ten stuff, some Penn State stuff. So if you want to check that out as well, you can go check that out too.
All right, Kevin. Well, thanks for joining. We will see what happens. Michigan, Penn State coming up on Saturday at noon. I know fans are waiting with bated breath to see who loses this one. So thanks for joining me, Kevin. We'll talk to everybody soon. Peace.